Amen. It's okay. All right. A few things to go over here before we get into the message for this morning. First of all, I wanted to take this opportunity to honor my lovely bride here. On Thursday, she and I celebrate 10 years of being married. That's pretty good, I think. And seven of them were happy. That's great. But yeah, so we're excited about that. We made it a lot farther than a lot of couples do nowadays. So we're pretty happy about that. And 50 years? Wow. That's great. Seven of them are happy. That's great. All right. I also wanted to give you guys an update on the building that we're looking at for our church, okay? I sent out an email earlier this week with some information about where we're at. We sent this budget proposal and lease off to Foursquare for them to review and hopefully sign and return to us. So just be praying. We sent that off on Monday. The council met last Sunday afternoon and signed all the paperwork that we need. And then Monday I sent it all off to Foursquare. So they are reviewing it now. I still owe them a few minor details about some of the costs of some things, but I'll get that to them early this week, and it'll probably be a few weeks before we hear anything. I wrote the lease to start October 1st, so I'm hoping that we hear something by then. If not, it'll be November. But I'm really praying that this proceeds smoothly and that Foursquare looks at our budget, looks at our paperwork, and has favor with us and just says, oh yeah, they can do this, and signs everything without any kind of questions or problems. So you can pray along with me in that way, if you would. That'd be great. In this email I sent out last week, I highlighted a few things that you can be doing in preparation for this, and there were four things that you could be doing. First of all, attend. Be here on Sundays. It's really important that Foursquare sees that our attendance is up and that we can support this new building, you know. And in relation to that, continue to tithe and give. That's very important that we have the finances to pay the rent. That'd be good. And also invite people, tell people about Pathway. You know, we have these signs up on the roads for about 2.5 hours on Sunday mornings, and that's about it. So if anyone's going to hear that we're here, it's from you guys. It's word of mouth. So tell people about Pathway, what an awesome church it is, what an awesome drummer they have. That'd be great. So also pray. That's the most important thing you can be doing, is praying for this church, praying for our leadership team, praying for this building. I'm out there just about every afternoon. I stop by there on my way home from work for about 10 minutes or so and just kind of pray over the grounds and walk around the building. And I'm usually there around 4 o'clock, 4:15, if anybody wants to come out and pray with me there. But so just keep praying, okay? And we're going to watch God do something amazing, okay? All right. We've been in this sermon series called Cry Out America in this time period between 4th of July, the celebration of our nation's birthday, and September 11th coming up here in 2 weeks, the 10th anniversary of September 11th. And so I figure it's a good time to focus on our nation and about our responsibility as Christians here in this nation, what we can do to help turn this nation around, because our nation is really, really in need. That's a good way to put it. I was going to say going to hell in a handbasket. In need is a much nicer way to put it. we need to be involved. We need to be plugged into our communities and our governments and having an influence on people, having an influence on our leaders. So we have these latest prayer guides that are usher's going to pass out right now. These are some different focuses every week that we are praying for in relation to our culture and the church in America. We've got one focus on our culture, one focus on our church that we're praying for each week. Not our church, but the nationwide church, the worldwide church. Things that we can be praying for that are indications that revival is coming. So for the as far as the church goes, we are praying this week for that Christians would be involved in bold witness accompanied by miracles, dramatic conversions, and Holy Spirit-empowered victories over evil. So, you know, I've been praying for this for a long time, actually, not just this week. As Christians are filled with the Holy Spirit, and as they're out in their communities having an influence on people, the Holy Spirit's going to do some amazing things. You know, miracles, dramatic conversions like the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, Holy Spirit-empowered victories over evil. That's what I want to see. And there's some specific prayer points there that you could be praying for this week. And as far as our culture goes, we're praying for an awakening to the fear of the Lord rather than the approval of people, thus restoring integrity and credibility. So many of our leaders are just focused on what the latest poll numbers are, you know, what people think of them. And if they weren't as focused on that and were more focused on what God would have them do with the power that they've been given by Him, can you imagine the change that could come across our country? So be praying for that. That's a hard one. That's one that's going to take a miracle to change. God's power is really going to have to work to change people's minds and hearts and their just their instincts, their political instincts in that area. So pray that they would fear the Lord instead of worrying about what people think. So you can be praying for that along with me this week for those specific points. We've been talking about God's power for the last 3 weeks or so. We've been talking about God's plan. We've been talking about how He knows what's happening, what's going to happen in the future, what's coming. And He has a plan. He knows what's going on. And we can have hope because of that, because we know that He's in control. We can have hope in our lives because we know that no matter what we face, God already knew about it. Nothing surprises Him. And it's all working into His plan, working for our good. So we've just got to trust Him. And by the way, if you ever miss a Sunday and want to hear the message, we're on, all the messages are posted on our Facebook page. If you go to Facebook, and if you don't have a Facebook account, get a Facebook account and go to facebook.com/pathwayofhope. All the sermons are uploaded there by me every week. So if you ever miss a Sunday, you can listen to it up there. But I want to continue that theme this week by talking about our role as Christians, knowing that God's in control and knowing that God has a plan and that He's in control. What's our responsibility? The mission statement of our church. It says we exist to be a Spirit-filled people. We exist to glorify God by being a Spirit-filled people, empowered by Him to accomplish His perfect will in this imperfect world. His perfect will. His will is perfect. And our responsibility while we're here on earth is to accomplish that will. God's going to place us in situations, and He's going to place us in certain circumstances so that we can be His agent to accomplish His will. So every situation we step into, God has a task for us. God has a role for us. God has something for us to do to accomplish His will. And we've got to be on the same wavelength with the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important to be spending time alone with God every day, to be praying, to be in communion with God, and to be filled with the Holy Spirit to overflowing so that when those situations come up and we have those opportunities, we don't miss them. Because too often, we're just focused on ourselves, right? We're focused on our own problems, focused on our own stuff that we're going through, the junk in our lives. And we miss out on some things that God wants us to do. We've got to open our eyes. God's got this plan for our lives, and we've got a certain role in it. And the devil's going to come along, and he's going to throw stuff in our path to try to distract us, try to keep us from accomplishing the will that God has for us, to keep us from accomplishing that will. So we can't just sit back and watch. We've got a job to do. We've got responsibilities. So I want to look this morning at a couple different passages out of the book of Ephesians, if you want to turn there with me. I'm going to start in Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to look at what our role in this world should be as we accomplish God's perfect will in this imperfect world. We can make a difference in our neighborhood, in our city, and in the culture of this country. We can make a difference. We can have an influence. But we've got to be willing to step out of our comfort zone and be the change. Be different. We've got to be different. At the beginning of Ephesians chapter 4, Paul talks about that. If you notice here at the beginning of the first verse, he says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, and when you see the word then, you want to look back and see what he's referring to by that word. And at the end of chapter 3, you'll see that it's actually my life verse there at the end of chapter 3. You know, the verse that I love, that I say sometimes at the end of some services, that him is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, right? According to his power that is at work within us. That's what Paul's talking about. He's going off of that thought with the power that God has, the immeasurable power, more than you can ask or imagine, the greatest thing you could ever imagine God doing in your life. God wants to go bigger. He wants to go more than that. So because of God's power, Paul goes on and says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle then. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So let's break this down just a little bit here, because the first thing he says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. What is that calling that we've received? It's salvation. It's being a child of God. We've been called to be a child of God, like we sung about this morning. And how you live should be a reflection of that calling. How you live your life should be a reflection of that calling. Do you live the same way as the people that are around you? Same way your neighbors live? Same way your buddies at work live? Are you living the same way as them, or are you different? Can people tell that you're a Christian by looking at you and watching the way that you live your life? Are you different? And are you living for God when people aren't watching? That's called integrity. And are you living for God when people are watching? When the people that are watching may not like it, may laugh at you. They may tease you. They may not want anything to do with you because you're one of those crazy Christian folk. That's called guts. So how can we be different? Paul gives three ways here. Be humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So three ways. Three ways that we can be different in this world. Different than the people around us. I mean, look at it. Be humble and gentle. The world is not humble, right? The world has an ego. People that aren't saved, that are living for themselves, everything is about How is it going to affect me? How is it going to affect my life? They may be willing to help people, but then they're saying, what am I going to get out of it? That's the way the world thinks. And we need to be the opposite. You know, Isaac, my son, 4 years old, he loves to sing in the car, you know, along with CDs. We have a lot of worship CDs that we listen to in the car. And so Isaac's singing along with these CDs. And we try to encourage him a lot. And we tell him, oh, Isaac, your voice is so great. Your voice is really cute. You know, we love your voice. And you're a good singer. And so we try to encourage him in that way. One day, I was driving in the car alone with him. Usually it's Abby and Isaac and Jackie and me all singing together. But this one time I was in the car alone with Isaac, and he was singing along with this song. And all of a sudden he stops in the middle of the song and he says, Dad, my voice sounds really cute with this song. And I said, yeah, and you're humble too, right? And he said, yeah. He doesn't quite get it. We're trying to work on him with that, you know, the humility thing. But we need to live humble lives. We need to have gentle actions. We need to not get worked up over things that might not be fair. You know, we try to teach our kids that it's not Isaac gets a toy this day doesn't mean that you get one, Abby. You know, we try to teach them that life's not always fair and even. We need to not take offense at every word that might be directed at us. Did Jesus get offended when people insulted him? No. He turned the other cheek. Did Paul get offended when people talked about him? No. You need to follow their example. Be humble. Sometimes you got to swallow your ego. Because the instinct is to rise up, right? Get all offended and fight for yourself. Sometimes we just got to step back, push our ego down, just be humble and gentle. We've also got to be patient, bearing with one another in love. It's another way that we can be different from the world, right? Because the world is short on patience. Everything, especially in this culture nowadays, 100 years ago it was different. Nowadays, man, everything is now, now, now. We got cell phones, we got the internet, we got on-demand TV and movies. Everything is right now. And people tend to treat, because they're so used to that, they tend to treat people the same way. If you don't get a response right now. I'm not saying throw your computer out the window. Technology is not good or evil. It's how you use it. We're angry when we don't get what we want right away. That's the way the world thinks. And sometimes we get sucked into that, don't we? Sometimes we get sucked into that lifestyle. And it's the same way we treat God that way sometimes, don't we? We're impatient. We pray for something and we want an answer right now. You know, this church has been waiting for a home for 6 years. God help us. Give us a home. You know? And it's easy to get impatient with God sometimes. Part of being a child of God is practicing patience. Now I never advise people to pray for patience, because when you do that, God's just going to put you in situations where you can practice having patience, and that's not always fun. So I don't advise that. Just in your daily life, practice patience. Practice waiting for things. You know? Be patient. Patience with the people around us. Patience with God. Remember, He has a plan. He has a plan. He knows what he's doing. We've got to be patient and wait on him. Wait on his timing. And Paul goes on to talk about that we need to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And this isn't as much a contrast between the way the world works and the way the church should work as much as it is a warning for the church. Because the devil would love to tear us apart from the inside out. And I've been watching this church for the last few years, and I've seen those little conflicts that turn into arguments, that turn into fights. And then people tell other people what's going on, and people start choosing sides, and it just grows into this big thing. This big controversy. And doesn't have to be that way. But the devil is doing his darndest to try to split us apart and break us up. A lot of that stuff I protect you guys from. A lot of that stuff goes on behind the scenes, you know. I was telling somebody last week, ministry is messy, you know. But stuff happens, you know. People fight. People have disagreements. And it's a threat to the stability and the unity of the church. Now the world loves to take sides, right? Republican, Democrat, right? Red Sox, Yankees, DH, no DH. You know, there's all those things that the world loves to pick a side and compete. All I know, the only thing I know, is that I want to be on God's side. Whatever side God is on, I'm going there. That's why I know that God's a Giants fan. Because I'm there, you know? God wants our church. God wants our church to be together and unified and on the same page with each other. And sometimes to do that, like I talked about with being humble, we got to put our ego aside. And we just got to love people for who they are. We got to forgive. We got to forget. We got to move on, and we got to start seeing the big picture that God has, not only for our church, but for this city and for this country. Sometimes our little disagreements and our bruised ego gets in the way of that. And let me tell you, when the people outside in the community, when they look at a church and they can see the arguments and the split and the fighting going on inside the church, what do you think that says to them? They look at us and they say, they're no different than we are. Why would I want to go there? Or even worse, when there's two churches that are competing and fighting against each other. It's not a good witness to our community and to the world. Flip over one chapter to Ephesians chapter 5. Paul talks again about our role in the world. Starting in verse 15, he says, "Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to, church family, be careful how we live. We've got to be different. We've got to take our lifestyles seriously. Not just be a Christian on Sundays and do whatever you want the rest of the week. People are watching us. People are watching us. People are watching you, and they're watching how you live. Especially if they know that you're saved. They might be even looking for an opportunity, looking for watching you to see when you screw up. So you've got to be careful how you live. You've got to live in a wise way, not in an unwise way. And as we live our lives in a wise way, worthy of the calling that we've received, then we can make the most of every opportunity, right? Because we're not going to miss those opportunities. If we're on the same page as God, like I said, if we're talking with Him, we're hearing from Him, we're filled with the Spirit, then those opportunities are going to come along and we're not going to miss them. A lot of opportunities are squandered by us because we're not living the way that we should. Imagine the impact that we could have on our country if every Christian was filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit and was seeing the opportunities that God was laying out in front of them and they were accomplishing God's will. Can you imagine how this country could be transformed? But too many Christians just try to fit in. Too many Christians don't want to make waves. We could change the world. Paul, in this passage here, he gives a very specific example of wise versus unwise living. He says to be different. The world likes to drink. The world likes to go out and get drunk and party, and that's what they do when they're not working or whatever. That's how they let their hair down. They go out and they drink. Paul says, why not be different? Instead of going out on Friday night and getting drunk with your buddies, why don't you be filled with the Spirit? Instead of being filled to overflowing with booze, with beer, why not be filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit? It's a greater high anyway, isn't it? Step out and be different. We should be different from the world in the way that we speak, in the way that we act, in what we live for, in our motives for doing the things that we do. We need to be different in how we measure success. We need to be different. That's our job. God's doing His part. He's out there with His power. He's out there with His plan, moving the pieces around like I talked about last week. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he's given us certain responsibilities. But if we're not willing to step out and be different, if we're not willing to sacrifice some things, then what are we doing here? God wants you to be different. And as you're different, as you separate yourself from the way the world lives, you're going to have opportunities to change that world, to transform that culture. Amen? Yeah. So commit yourself to that. Be different. Be the change. Live the way God wants you to live. Don't take the easy way out, because it's easy to just go along with the crowd, right? It's easy to just live the way the world lives. Blend in. God doesn't want us to blend in. As we do that, people are going to notice. People are going to notice. And change is going to start. We bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your presence here today. You're amazing. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your perfect will. Right now, Lord, I commit to you that I'm going to be different. I'm going to be different than the people around me. I'm not just going to blend in, Lord. I want to make a change. You can pray that prayer too, if that's what you want. If you want to be different, you can make that commitment today. Say, Lord, I want to be different. I don't want to be like the people around me. I want to be different, Lord. Help me to be different. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We have our worship teams available over here to your left. Yeah. Oh, prayer team, sorry. Prayer team's over here to your left. If you have anything that you want to be prayed for this week, come and pray with them. They'd love to pray with you. We're going to sing this new song again. Let's all stand together.